You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, welcome. We see some new faces this morning. We are so glad you are here to celebrate. We're celebrating 10 years of God's grace to Reality Church Stockton. And I think the temptation today would be to talk about some accomplishments, to talk about what we've done over the last 10 years. But as I pondered really through how to frame a 10-year celebration, I kept coming back to a phrase that the early church would use often. They would use a variation of this phrase: God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. Amen. Got a little startle there. Is it my time, Lord? God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And that's the story that we have lived. That's the script that we've been handed as a church. It has been a story of God's grace. Peter Scazzaro, in his book, The Emotionally Healthy Church, he points out really how the Bible is an account full of men and women that became living testimonies of God's grace and how gracious, really, God is. And so I want to read a portion of that. He says this: Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark deserted Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's only training was farming. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair, murdered, and abused power. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a persecutor. Moses was a murderer. Jonah ran from God's will. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burnt out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk. Solomon was too rich. Jesus was too poor. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus was too dead. And over and over and over again, that is the pool that God gathers from. If you've come to grips with you're not very good at this whole Christianity thing, welcome. You'll fit right in. You'll fit right in. He chooses and appoints the least likely people to leave the greatest impact in history. And by his grace alone, today we, and always, we get to join that lineage as well. And really, it's always been about God's grace. It's God's grace that saves, not our performance. It's God's grace that has welcomed us into a church that we love and loves us, not because we are super good at picking churches or because you just happened upon it by Yelp or Google review or something like that. It's God's grace that welcomes us into gospel community, and it's God's grace that will hold us tightly and see us through. It's grace from the beginning. It's grace through the end. It's all about God graciously at work in our lives. And the more I pondered this, the more I realized that we don't want a testimony of human accomplishment. We don't want that. Even if it came with fame and recognition and legacy. If you notice with me in this passage in Acts, notice the namelessness here in Acts. We hear Barnabas, he was sent from Jerusalem to investigate what's going on in the church. Other than that, we don't hear names of the church. It's just people. Because the legacy isn't about our accomplishments. The legacy is about God's grace at work within us. And the church has never really ever been and never will be a testimony of human effort. But rather, the church is a people that have become trophies of God's grace. If you're here today and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you live now a life that's been transformed, you're a trophy of God's grace, not your own accomplishment. And so as the watching world views the Christian community, we are not wowing people with ourselves. We are not wowing people with what we can accomplish. We are stirring questions that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can sufficiently answer. What is going on among these people? And that's really the questions that started to be stirred in this area and come back to Jerusalem. One writer put it this way: our wounds and weaknesses reveal our greatest strength. God is not out to make each of us a member of his power team, but he is out to reveal to us the crippling power of the cross. As we die to ourselves and our rights and our strength and our positions of power, the great victory of God becomes even more evident in our lives. When it's less of us and more of Christ. The church is a people where the grace and the power of God is put on full display despite us. And that's a remarkable thing that we see here in this account in Acts. After really pressure had been placed upon the church in Jerusalem through persecution, the people of God that were previously huddled up in that city began to disperse and began to move into various regions, north and east and south of Jerusalem, and even into places in Europe and in Asia. And the church began to move to places that they wouldn't naturally go to. And as they began to move, the gospel of Jesus Christ followed them and began to reach these cities. And it tells us in Acts that some were willing to go to Antioch. And through a series of these unexpected events, that a church was planted, lives were transformed, and the news of what God was doing began to spread. And that news, that testimony of what God was doing, spread all the way back to Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem, it's almost as if they didn't think this thing was going to work. They're like, wait, what's going on? A church planted, people worshiping God in Gentile territory? And so Jerusalem sends Barnabas to Antioch to essentially investigate this strange little church in Antioch. And as he arrives, verse 23 tells us two specific things that we're going to look at this morning: what he saw and what he said. Let's look first at what Barnabas saw. Look with me again in verse 23. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. So what did he see that caused him to be glad? The grace of God. When he saw the grace of God. Now, this is really important because as far as I'm familiar, there is no other particular language like this in the New Testament. Apostles would say something like, I've heard the testimony of you, or I can testify to what God is doing among you. But here it says that Barnabas saw it. It was visible. It was clear. Their beliefs about God and how good he was becoming unmistakable, just evident and clear. Francis Schaeffer, writing about the early church, put it this way: the early church practiced two things simultaneously, orthodoxy of doctrine and orthodoxy of visible community. In other words, it wasn't just about how beautiful the gospel was on paper or in their creeds, but this same gospel was now manifesting and becoming beautiful among them in a way that when someone came, they were able to observe what they believed. And so the question for us today is, how is the grace of God made visible? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few things from this passage that answer that question. How is God's grace made visible? Looking first and foremost at this: Jesus is exalted. The grace of God becomes visible when Christ is exalted. Look with me in verse 20. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. At the end of the day, there was no shadow of doubt what this people was all about. It was very, very clear that this was a people all about the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's a fun story that's been passed down in history from Charles Spurgeon, a preacher that I often quote. And one Sunday he got done preaching in the mid-19th century, and a woman in the church comes up to him and says, Nice message, Pastor. But I've got to ask you a question. Why is it that all of your sermons sound the same? You're always preaching a different text, but it always sounds the same. Why is that? And Spurgeon says, well, that one's easy. He says, because the very moment I begin to preach, I am making a beeline to the cross of Christ. That's an easy one, because the scriptures testify to Christ. They were all about Jesus. Jesus is the central message of the church, and he is the difference between beauty and repulsiveness. A church that is exalting the name of Jesus Christ is beautiful. It's compelling and it's alluring. Jesus is exalted. The second thing we see in this passage, you guys still with me? The second thing we see in this passage is that cultural divides are crossed. Cultural divides are crossed. Now, those who were scattered were, quote, look at me, 19, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Pause there. So this practice of ethnocentricity in Jerusalem was now spreading to the various parts around Jerusalem. In Jerusalem at that time, it was a religious practice to isolate anyone that was not a Jew. There was a wall that divided the temple. So Gentiles, the outside world, could not enter in. You were second class at best. And now this habit is moving to Antioch. But read on. But there was a defiant group of people, some of them men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Gentile world, and in so doing, broke down cultural divides. There were some that were content to preserve a homogeneous community. They were totally fine taking what they had in Jerusalem, that homogenous expression, and going and planting that in Antioch. But then there were some that were willing to break the cultural divides for the sake of the gospel. And this is when the gospel shined brightest. This is when the beauty of the gospel became most evident. And as a result, we read on in scripture, Antioch became known as one of the more diverse churches in the New Testament, because some were willing to break down cultural divides because Jesus Christ is worth it. And so the question again is, how does the grace of God become visible? Well, one of the clearest ways is when the church takes up the call to seek and embrace and celebrate diversity within the body of Christ. Amen? When the church seeks and celebrates and embraces diversity within the body of Christ, and when it more and more reflects heaven. In fact, the Apostle John describes what heaven, this heaven that we are longing for, is going to look like. He says this in Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, he's saying, listen, come here, look. Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That is what the Apostle John is saying. Come here. Look, this is what we have to look forward to. And this compelling vision isn't just something that we are waiting for, church. This is something that God has been bringing about since the very beginning of the church. This is what God was doing in Antioch. This is what God is doing in our time. The third thing we see is God's active hand. God's hand is active among them. Look with me in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. It was none other than the hand of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working powerfully among them. So what does this mean? It means his hand was guiding them. It means God's hand was caring for them and comforting them. It means God's hand was generously providing for them. It means God's hand was empowering them. It means God's hand was protecting them. It means that God's hand was saving among them. God was with them by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Anything and everything the church could ever require, they are looking to God to provide. What God requires, God provides. Always. The fourth thing we see in this passage is that lives are being transformed. Look at me in the second half of verse 21. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. They believed, they put their faith in Jesus, and they turned, which means they changed the direction of their life entirely. If we read this and we see anything less than a miracle, we're missing it entirely. Any move towards Jesus Christ is nothing less than a divine miracle by God's grace. You are not here because you chose to be here. You are here because God drew you here. Your life is aligned with His will, not because you chose to align your life with His will. It's because God graciously aligned your life with His will. Any turn in the direction of Jesus Christ is a miracle that we celebrate. You are walking miracles. You are walking miracles by God's grace. And this is something to celebrate because Jesus tells us in Luke 15 that all of heaven breaks out in celebration when one son or daughter comes home. Heaven is hanging in the balance until that moment that a life is repenting and turning towards Jesus. And at that moment, heaven breaks out into song as a miracle. You are testimony of God's miraculous grace among us. Now I can't see my notes. I think I got one of these here. It's a 10-year celebration. We can do that, right? Reality Church, you're a congregation where the grace of God has been made visible through a series of unexpected turns, through mistakes, through sins that we take responsibility for, and all the other hard things that come with being broken people in a broken world. I have seen time and time again fresh mercy, fresh grace from God. You guys have survived ceilings falling in. You've survived more moves than we can count. You've survived some of the most difficult things that a church will ever face, some very difficult leadership transitions. We've survived attempted divisions. We've seen demons in our midst. We've seen it all. And God has remained gracious to us. And so to all who have invested in the life of this church, we honor you. We honor you. Whether you've been here a week or from the very beginning, whether you're still here, you've moved on to a different city, and you're watching through the video, we honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for what you have invested in the life of this church. By God's grace, you've been a people that have exalted the name of Jesus. By God's grace, you have been a people that have dedicated their lives to breaking down cultural divides because Jesus is worth it. You are a people by God's grace that have depended upon God's guiding and restoring hand among you. And you are a people by God's grace that are living out testimonies of transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do is, don't take my word for it, what I want to do is I want to give opportunities to some members that have been impacted in their time at this church to be able to testify to what God has done in their lives through Reality Church Stockton at this moment.
Good morning, church, or good morning, family. For the ones who don't know, my name is Verena, and I've been a member here at Reality Church of Stockton for about 8.5 years now. And by the grace of God, He saved me through the faithful gospel ministry here at Reality all those years ago. However, I was actually born and raised in Germany, but sadly, however, the majority of my family and my friends back home, They don't know Jesus, including my parents. And even though I grew up with incredibly hardworking mom and dad, who undoubtedly love me, and they showed me their love the best way they knew that they could, and the best way they knew how to, that was in a way that they tried to raise me in an environment that greatly focused on hard work, strict rules, high efficiency, and worldly success. But by God's grace, he used this vessel of the little bit of academic and athletic skill that I did acquire, and that I thought would bring me ultimate fulfillment in this world. But he used it to bring me to a place here, to the community at Reality Church of Stockton, where I not only eventually faced my biggest fear, the acceptance of my complete inadequacy, but where I would also find the most astonishing relief and truth that finally the burden of performing, of working, and of getting to a place of ultimate joy, no matter the cost, was not on me anymore. But that pressure, that weight, and all that debt, it was gladly taken by my Jesus in full. So since that day in spring 2009, I had the pleasure of meeting so many incredible individuals here at Reality. And those individuals, they clearly told me, they patiently explained to me, and humbly showed me what it means to love and to be loved by Jesus. And it's been nothing but an honor and huge blessing to be part of this family, to be part of his family here in Sweet Stockton.
Wow, guys. All right, lastly, what we're going to do is we're going to invite up Gary and Rose. I haven't seen you, but I assume that there you are. Come on up and just kind of share what God has done in your life.
Not used to microphone. Rose and I have been married long enough, 30 years, praise the Lord. That I'm sure she prayed last night for me to be succinct, because I tend to ramble. But about 2 years ago, God opened the door for Rose and I to come to Stockton. After a lot of praying and seeing signs from the Lord, we moved back to Stockton to basically downsize, simplify life, and also get rid of stuff. So we were looking in Stockton for churches, and we're relatively new, especially compared to Ezekiel. We came to Reality about a year and a half ago. But what struck us with Reality Church was several things. First of all, was the verse-by-verse word from God, the truth in teaching, the expository teaching from Pastor Christian and Pastor David. We really appreciated that. And we also really appreciated the mission statement and doctrine of the church to grow Christianity in Stockton, to revitalize Stockton, not just with Reality Church, but other churches in Stockton. We also came to Reality Church because we wanted to support a church. We met with Christian and Jacob to discuss ministries and educational programs, and we enjoyed that feedback. But most importantly, we wanted to be a part of a church that we could pray for, pray with, and even have Christian and the staff pray for us. So we thought that was really important. Along the way, we see all these young faces, kids, Ezekiel, college-age students, young adults, young kids on fire for the Lord. And being of kind of a senior generation, for Rose and I, that's really invigorated us to be a part of this, to be a part of a church that's vibrant and alive. And so that's been really important. In 2019, I gave my notice for retirement, and in 2019, with God leading the way, we hope to go to South Africa in Malawi to work with, we believe, CARE International, which is a Christian organization, and we might spend a year or so in Africa. So we're really looking forward to that, to see God's love and God's glory, and to work with other Christian workers in another part of the globe. But as far as our home church reality, reality will always be our home church that we can pray for and pray with, even if we're in another nation. So thank you.
Not gonna lie, when it first came, we felt like dinosaurs, and we still feel like dinosaurs. But it is so encouraging and so exciting for us to see so many young people and families, because you are our next generation, and so we need to keep passing on that baton and keep pressing on and running the race, because we need to be the light in this dark world.
Let's look finally at this last point, and I'll be real brief on this. We looked at what Barnabas saw, but what did Barnabas say? This is really important as we look ahead now to the next decade, which is sort of intimidating if you ask me, but as we look at this sort of next decade as a church, I want to look at this verse 23 one more time. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. I would argue that every church needs a Barnabas. Every church needs a Barnabas present, because as he comes to see this church, there is no list of pros and cons. He's not making a list of here's all the things that you're doing well, and here's some things that you need to make some changes in, and here's some critiques and that sort of thing. If he would have dug deep enough, he would have found things to critique. In fact, you hang around the church long enough, you are going to find imperfections. If you're visiting us today, you've already seen them. Stick around, you'll find more. But he was filled with joy, and he essentially says, I love this. Keep it up. I want to just encourage you, keep it up. And that's what I desire, and the leadership of this church desires to encourage you with today. As we envision the next decade, we have no idea what is coming. In fact, the only thing that I'm expecting about the next decade is more of the unexpected, and God to be very, very gracious to us. Because that's his character, and that's his promises to his children. So we're just going to be banking on his grace for us, and know that there are going to be more series of unexpected events. This is an adventure, to say the least. Walking with Jesus is an adventure. Church, as we press on into the future, and we dare to really dream big about what God desires to do among us and in our lives and in our church, our exhortation to you is to remain faithful to the Lord and to do so in steadfast purpose. To remain faithful to the Lord and to do so with steadfast purpose, and I promise you, it'll be the greatest thing that you ever did with your life. You will never find a greater endeavor to embark upon than to giving your life to Jesus Christ and running hard after him. And so remain faithful with steadfast purpose. This is not a time to ease up. This is not a time to coast. This is not a time to disengage. This is not a time to look back at accomplishments and say, okay, we can take a rest for a minute. We find our rest in Jesus Christ and we press on super hard because he's worth it. Amen. Okay, press on. What I want to do is I want to encourage you with one verse. I'll close with this. It's from Colossians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. We don't know what was going on, but it seems to be sort of a mile marker moment as he's talking about the past and now turning their attention towards the future. He says this in Colossians 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built upon him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. which tells us this, that every step forward that we take as a community today into the next decade and beyond, every step forward is actually a step to return to Christ, to return to the first things. We never move beyond Jesus Christ. Our future is not now moving on from the gospel or moving on from what Jesus has done in our life. Our steps in the future, this next decade by God's grace, is a step further into relationship with Jesus Christ. We walk, we grow, we reach, we flourish, we multiply in Him. Amen. So join me as we step further into this adventure of following Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Reality Church Stockton podcast. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more info on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.